Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this state, Tuesday, May 27th, 2020. I hope you all had a very good Memorial Day. The first headline reads, Neighborhood Watch, Open Still Closed. Iowa, Wisconsin. Open since May 15th. All restaurants, libraries, gyms, malls, hair salons, and barbershops since Friday. Swimming pools, but only for lap swimming and swimming lessons. Movie theaters at 50% capacity. Museums, zoos, and wedding reception venues. Still closed, but just for another 3 days throughout the Hawkeye State, bars and other alcohol-related establishments for both indoor and outdoor service. Missouri, open since May 4th. Places of worship, movie theaters, concert venues, museums, gyms, hotel swimming pools, and restaurant dining rooms. The latter since May 18th in St. Louis. Still closed? All 13 of the state's casinos, but likely only for another week. All St. Louis County public libraries and most public pools in Kansas City, St. Louis, and elsewhere for the remainder of 2020. A whole lot after the state Supreme Court on May 13 struck down a safer at home order that was set to expire today, but municipalities were permitted to put in their own rules. Restaurants and bars in the city of Milwaukee, where gatherings of more than 10 are still a no-no. The governor strongly advises against it, but if you can't resist the urge to book a tea time for 4, before Friday, or make reservation for 2 inside a restaurant before Illinois enters phase 4, you can cross the state line in any direction. Our Midwest neighbors got a head start in reopening for business, a step Illinois will take, with some limitations, beginning Friday. Here's a sampling of what's allowed, with social distancing and other restrictions in Indiana, Iowa, Missouri, and Wisconsin, courtesy of editor Jeff D'Alessio. That's the whole title of this article. I'm sorry, it was posted a little bit later into the article. So, Indiana now. Open since May 8th. Restaurants and bars with restaurant service at 50% capacity. Places of worship, hair salons, and barbershops. Since Sunday, community pools, basketball and tennis courts, gyms and retail stores, malls at 75% capacity. Still closed, playgrounds, movie theaters, bars, and overnight youth camps. And that's our neighborhood watch. So, again, for Illinois, the governor strongly advises against it. But if you can't resist the urge to book a tea time for 4 before Friday or make a reservation for 2 inside a restaurant before Illinois enters phase 4, you can cross the state line in any direction. And so that was a look at Wisconsin, Indiana, Iowa, and Missouri. The next headline reads, Opinion from Jim Dye's column, Standing Up for God by Taking on the Governor. With the sun shining brightly overhead at noon Sunday, the Reverend Dustin Brown addressed his flock, a motley crew of young and old who live on the fringes of society and struggle with problems that include poverty and addiction. It's a beautiful day. Amen, he said, beginning his call to praise God. You are the vine. And we are the branches. Without you, we can do nothing. It's your presence that gives deliverance, Brown said. The services conducted in the back parking lot of Rogers Building Supply, located at 350 North Walnut Street in Champaign, lasted an hour. Then, members of the Jesus House Restoration Ministry served meals to those who were hungry and provided clothes to those who needed them. It was all in a day's work, the goal of which is to provide sustenance to body and soul. Providing sustenance to the body is considered essential under Governor J.B. Pritzker's coronavirus lockdown. But Brown's determination to nourish souls as well has led him to the U.S. District Court in Urbana, where he and lawyers from St. Thomas More Society of Illinois are challenging Pritzker's edict that no more than 10 people can attend services like those Brown holds. Pritzker's lawyers face a Thursday deadline to respond to the lawsuit before U.S. Judge Colin Bruce. Brown is asking the court to declare Pritzker's rules an unconstitutional infringement on the free exercise of religion and bar state and local officials from preventing or interfering with what is described as their outdoor, socially distanced, communal religious activities. Overcoming obstacles. Brown has been conducting outdoor religion services since Pritzker's lockdown was put in place in March. On April 20th, he was served with a cease and desist order by the local public health district. Please be advised that your business does not fall under the definition of essential business and therefore is required to cease all activities except minimum basic operations as a result of Pritzker's executive order, states the notice signed by local public health administrator Julie Pride. Pritzker has since modified his rules, but the 10-person limit stands. Brown, who has continued his services, said authorities have not interfered since the initial cease and desist order. The last 2 weeks they've left us alone, he said. But the lawsuit states ministry officials are fearful of prosecution for themselves and their congregation. Here's the nub in the complaint. If the ministry was a typical social service agency that assisted the poor with food and clothing, it would be considered an essential service, exempt, from Pritzker's strict rules. Because it is a hybrid, offering both material and religious assistance, it is deemed non-essential. Restricting churches to no more than 10 people, while allowing gatherings of more than 10 for all manner of other businesses and activities, is arbitrary and unreasonable, the lawsuit states. Unknown territory. This lawsuit is just one of many challenging Pritzker's coronavirus lockdown rules that have been filed in federal and state courts in Illinois. Religious leaders have been leading the charge, but so far the courts have upheld Pritzker's emergency powers to ban or restrict church services as a means of limiting the spread of the virus. This lawsuit, however, raises new issues. It contends the lockdown was put in place to flatten the curve of the virus's spread, and that goal has been achieved. Further, the ministry's hybrid offerings led health officials to target it solely because of the religious services. One might reasonably wonder why local officials would bother, but the heavy-handed dictates of mindless bureaucracy are hardly a new phenomenon. Indeed, this kind of enforcement is common when officials possess a surplus of power and a deficit of judgment. St. Louis lawyer Tim Belz, B-E-L-Z, one of the ministry's lawyers, made it clear that he'd be happy to settle the dispute with Pritzker's lawyers. "We're not out for blood," he said. He and Brown and his ministry simply wish to be allowed to serve both the body and spirit of the 50-plus congregants who sit in socially distanced folding chairs. Being a man of faith, Brown said he considers Pritzker's rules an attack on the Word of God. Because he is a man of faith, Brown expressed confidence that the governor is going to change his mind. Jim Dye is a member of the News Gazette staff, and he can be reached by email at jdey@newsgazette.com or by phone at 217-351-5369. And along with this article, there are a few pictures of people at worship. One picture is a woman with her arm raised, and there's kind of like a black top of people in different folding chairs spread out before her. Sunday service, led by the Reverend Dustin Brown, drew a crowd to a parking lot of a building supply firm. Another picture shows the minister, Mr. Brown, in front of a crowd, but they're all kind of spaced out in folding chairs, and he's preaching to them. He has a little podium in front of him, and he's preaching to his congregants. The next headline reads, Coronavirus Pandemic, Day 67 of State Shutdown, by the numbers. 112,017 cases, 4,884 deaths. That's just the brief numbers there. The next headline reads, Illinois impact. Champaign County adds 41 cases over three-day holiday weekend. Recovered versus active margin widens for better. The gap between recovered cases at 359 and active ones at 195 continued to expand Monday as Champaign County reported 9 new positive tests. 6 county residents are hospitalized, according to the CU Public Health District. 4 Champaign County zip codes added new cases on Monday. Out of 61802 from Urbana, up 4 for 79 total. From zip code 61821 out of Champaign, up 3 for 103 total. Out of zip code 61820 in Champaign, up 1 to 95 total. And from the zip code 61880 out of Tolono, up 1 to 5 total. The state crept closer to 5,000 coronavirus-related fatalities, a grim milestone already surpassed by New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Illinois' total stands at 4,884 after 31 deaths were added on Monday. Ahead of Friday's Phase 3 kicking in, Urbana is surveying restaurants and bars interested in offering outdoor dining. They have until noon today to complete an online survey and indicate interest in applying for an outdoor permit. Over Memorial Day weekend, a man in his 30s became the 21st Ford County resident to test positive. 5 of the 21 remain in isolation, 15 have been released, and 1 has passed. Vermilion County's lone new case was reported on Saturday. The next headline reads, Top of the Morning, Something to Get You Going Today, courtesy of Jim Rosso. This was the night graduates of Champaign Central and Centennial High Schools were to walk across stages at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts and State Farm Center, respectively. But those plans were scrapped due to COVID-19. Unit 4, however, was able to produce virtual ceremonies in time to be viewed on the day the kids were to receive diplomas. Taped at the school district's headquarters on Windsor Road, the production was made to mimic the traditional ceremony from the presence of Superintendent Susan Zola and school board members to speeches by students. The link at Unit 4's website is scheduled to go live at 6 p.m. today and is available to anyone who'd like to watch. And then there's a picture provided by Matt DeFanis, courtesy of the school board president, Amy Armstrong. And it's school board president, Amy Armstrong, as she tapes her speech for virtual graduation. There's a camera and a woman standing in a podium looking at the camera. The next headline reads, History. Area History. In 1920, utility companies in Illinois joined hands to eradicate all limitations on railroads in the proposed state constitution. Every railroad restriction, with the exception of having the legislature fix maximum rates, was beaten. In 1970, Humco Craft will have its 4 major sources of pollution corrected by the end of the year, the companies said at a public hearing. In 2005, 2 associate judges and 2 attorneys, all with long histories of service in Champaign County, have asked the Illinois Supreme Court to make them the next circuit judge for the 6th Judicial Circuit. Supreme Court Justice Rita Garman, G-A-R-M-A-N, announced that the applicants for the Champaign County judgeship left vacant by the January 2004 retirement of J.G. Greg Townsend are Jeffrey Ford, Brian McFeeters, Tracy Nally, and Donald Parkinson. International History. Today's highlight. On May 26, 1981, 14 people were killed when a Marine jet crashed onto the flight deck of the aircraft carrier USS Nimitz off Florida. Also on this date, in 1864, President Abraham Lincoln signed a measure creating the Montana Territory. In 1868, the impeachment trial of President Andrew Johnson ended with his acquittal on the remaining charges. In 1938, the House Un-American Activities Committee was established by Congress. In 1940, Operation Dynamo, the excavation of some 338,000 Allied troops from Dunkirk, France, began during World War II. In 1971, Don McLean recorded his song American Pie at the Record Plant in New York City. It was released the following November by United Artists Records. In 1972, President Richard M. Nixon and Soviet leader Leonid Brezhnev signed the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty in Moscow. The U.S. withdrew from the treaty in 2002. In 1978, Resorts Casino Hotel, the first legal U.S. casino outside Nevada, opened in Atlantic City, New Jersey. In 1994, Michael Jackson and Lisa Marie Presley were married in the Dominican Republic. The marriage, however, ended in 1996. In 1998, the U.S. Supreme Court made it far more difficult for police to be sued by people hurt during high-speed chases. The Supreme Court also ruled that Ellis Island, historic gateway for millions of immigrants, was mainly in New Jersey, not New York. And in 2004, nearly a decade after the Oklahoma City bombing, Terry Nichols was found guilty of 161 state murder charges for helping carry out the attack. Nichols later received 161 consecutive life sentences. The next headline reads, at newsgazette.com, here's what was trending at our website, which in a 7-day period ending Sunday saw 1,244,532 page views. The top stories. 1. Potential new owners of Mahomet Mansion to remain secret. 2. Monday's coronavirus update. Champaign County positivity rate down to 4.8%. Pritzker worried about my family's safety after protest. 3. Champaign woman charged with DUI and fatal accident involving boyfriend. The three top sports stories are, or were, 1. When will green flag drop for high school sports? 2. Good morning, Illini Nation. U of I in top 10 for five-star wing. And 3. Illinois men's basketball. Goods commitment, part of early trend for 2021 recruiting class. The three top photo galleries. 1. Behind the scenes, Mahomet Mansion. 2. Rudy Frasca tribute. 3. Coronavirus 2020 week 9, local graduations. And the top Instagram photos at handle news_gazette. 1. Gold Star graduate. 2. Tumble In reopening. 3. Rudy Frasca tribute. The next headline reads, ask the admin. A daily question for Champaign-Urbana Public Health District's Julie Pride. Question. Can Julie Pride provide any insight about why Wisconsin has so fewer COVID-19 cases than Illinois does? I see Wisconsin's population as about half of Illinois' population, but even subtracting out 80,000 or so cases in Chicago, Cook County, and surrounding counties, Illinois would still have more cases than Wisconsin. Answer. Like all pandemics, COVID-19 started with one person becoming infected. It spreads from person to person, aided by travel and crowding. When COVID was introduced into the U.S., it was not evenly distributed across the entire country at the same time. You may remember that Washington State was an early focus of COVID cases, but was later eclipsed by many other states. It is likely cases were introduced into Illinois earlier than in Wisconsin, and possibly through more locations. Once the virus starts spreading, outbreaks will accelerate the spread. You can look at the graphs on the Wisconsin Public Health website to see that COVID-19 cases are increasing and following the same curve as cases in other states. The next headline reads, that was then. And there's a whole page of high school senior class photos, some black and white, some in color. Here's the caption, or the description. That was then, written by Jeff D'Alessio. Between them, the 26 area high school alums featured in part 6 of our hashtag senior picture challenge have been inducted into the Hollywood Walk of Fame and Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, crowned Olympic and NBA champs, presented with the highest honors for heroism in Indiana and achievement in academia, and given 6 CU Schools Foundation Distinguished Alumni Awards, 5 Emmys, a Pulitzer, and a Tony. There's pictures of 2020 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee Irving Azoff, Danville, class of 66. There's a photo of Commanding Officer, U.S. Navy, Captain David Bretz, a class of Villa Grove, 1986. A photo of Illini All-American linebacker, Champaign Central, from class 2003, Jay Lehman. Made 72 Olympic gymnastics team at 15. That's Nancy Tice Marshall. And she's a senior in class of 1975 from Urbana High School. Then there's a picture of Mark Randall, executive director, Pontifical North American College. And he was an Shalarman class of 1987. Then there's a photo of Muhammad Seymour, Jason Seaman, class of 07, Noblesville, Indiana, school shooting hero. Then a photo of Dusty Burke, BURK, only back-to-back NG All-Area Football POY, Player of the Year, from class of 1998 out of Tuscola. There's also a photo of Bonnie, formerly Blair, last name Cruikshank, 5 Olympic gold medals in speed skating. She went to Centennial High School, class of 1982. There's also a photo of Toy, T-O-I, Dennis, class of 1994. She's 2020 CU Schools Foundation Distinguished Alumni, and she went to Centennial High School. There's also a photo of Soap Star, played Sean Kudahi on All My Children. That's Alan Dysart, and he's out of Oakwood, class of 1969. Then there's a photo of Sarah, formerly Earl, Horn, and she's class 1998 out of Rantoul, and she's the 2000 Illinois County Fair Queen. Also, Janelle Johnson. She's went to Central, class of 1998. She's from 2018, CU Schools Foundation Distinguished Alum. Also, there's a photo of Chris, K-R-I-S, McMasters. She's out of Catlin, a senior in 1974. She's the former CEO of Clifton Larson Allen. There's also a photo of Nancy, formerly King Mertz, an acclaimed Chicago artist, and she graduated in the class of 1970 out of Arcola. There's also a photo of Daniel Shapiro, U.S. Ambassador to Israel from 2011 to 2017. He graduated out of uni in 1986. Also, Joe Tanner, an astronaut aboard 4 space shuttle trips. He was a graduate out of the class of 1968 in Danville. Also, a picture of Brian Cardinal, Purdue legend, scored 2,108 points in the NBA. He was a graduate out of Unity High School in 1995. Also, a photo of Chantal, formerly Bailey Cermak. She's a 1994 Winter Olympian in speed skating. She graduated in 1983 from Centennial High School. Also, Abby Foster, 2017 Miss Illinois. She graduated in 2015 out of Oakwood. Also, Jeremy Hobson. He graduated out of uni in 1999 as co-host of NPR's Here and Now. Also, Diane, formerly Bolin, B-O-L-I-N, Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y. She's a gymnast on Team USA in the 1968 Summer Olympics. She graduated out of Homer in 1971. Also, a photo of Julie Foran LaPlante. She's 1978's Miss Illinois County Fair Queen. She graduated out of Bement in 1976. A few others. David Newman, 2016 CU Schools Foundation Distinguished Alum. He graduated out of Centennial in 1978. Also, Christina Olson, out of class of 1999 at Urbana. She's a MacArthur Genius Grant recipient. Also, Dick Van Dyke, graduated out of Danville High School in 1944. He's Hollywood Walk of Famer, who's won 5 Emmys and 1 Tony. Finally, a Pulitzer Prize winning columnist. He's George Will, and he graduated in 1958 out of Uni High School. The next headline reads, from her column, Jody Heckle, the starting line. Even with gym doors closed, training continues. Since she retired from teaching 5 years ago, Pam Nenginghard, that's N-E-G-A-N-G-A-R-D, of Sydney, has been going to group fitness classes every day at the Stevens Family YMCA. I love the fitness classes. They're very motivating, very welcoming. You meet so many people there, and it gets you motivated to go. You become very good friends with them because you're all there working for the same thing. Nenginghard said, "It's devastating to be missing it. The Y is like a second home to many people." At the Champaign Park District, the strength training class that Salima Young teaches has a core group of participants, many of whom have been taking the class together 3 times a week for the past few years. When gyms were closed by the COVID-19 pandemic, fitness class participants suddenly were without their regular workout routine and the community they'd found with the other class members. "It wasn't just them, it was me too," Young said. "I don't want my routine broken up." Fitness instructors have moved their classes online. Young, who also teaches fitness classes such as cardio, kickboxing, and dance classes at Infinite CU, and had recently started teaching at the Savoy Rec Center, put together an online schedule of classes and began teaching on Zoom. Sushma Bridgemohan of Champaign was taking 2 classes focusing on core workouts and a dance class taught by Young at Infinite CU. She's now taking Young's live online classes 5 days per week. She's grateful for something that will keep her on track for getting a workout done. "I'm not self-motivated at all," Bridgemohan said. "When we had the first shelter in place, one of the things I really worried about was that I would not be able to do it. Doing lessons with her online is holding me accountable." Fitness instructors at the Y have been live streaming classes on the Y's YouTube and Facebook accounts and recording other classes and posting the videos online. The Y offered 190 classes per week, including water exercise, before the shutdown, said Christina Fry, the Y's development and marketing director, who teaches a variety of classes. Excuse me. After the building closed, it posted videos of fitness classes available online before it began recording and live streaming its own classes. "We wanted to get content out to our members right away," Fry said. "What we found was that our members really like the live stream experience where they can see who's watching and can see the comments so they feel like people are still together." "The same goes for the instructor," she said. "She enjoys reading the comments online and seeing the camaraderie of people greeting one another or talking after a class about the challenging workouts. It's very different going to my basement, recording a class and posting it, than live streaming it. I'll see people checking in and people making comments with the live stream," Fry said. "We found there really is a sense of community." Nenginghard appreciates that she can do live classes at the same time as her friends. "It's obviously not as good as being there, but you feel like you are all together doing a class," she said. "They've really gone above and beyond to make sure different things are offered and at different times. It's a big help as far as staying motivated to work out." Fry and Young have modified their classes for people who are working at home, because class members won't necessarily have the exercise equipment at home that they used at the gym. Young changed the workouts that were done with weights to body weight exercises. Fry has recorded classes that substituted household items such as bottles of detergent or canned goods for weights. The one downside Young has found with online classes is that she's not able to connect the form of the class members like she could when teaching them in person. "This is what I enjoy doing. I enjoy watching people do something new and helping them get to the point where they're comfortable. I enjoy working out and helping other people work out," she said. Fry said, "Making classes available online can be beneficial even when gyms reopen. We try to look at this as an opportunity. We have a lot of people who travel for the U of I. When they're away for business, they would love to still be able to take their favorite class. This gives them the opportunity to do that, even if they're not here," she said. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, May 26th. My apologies for saying that incorrectly at the beginning. Tuesday, May 26th. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back shortly with part 2 of the News Gazette, so please stay with me. Thanks for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.